The information presented is for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed are not necessarily the opinions of any Daikin company. This information should not be confused for accounting, legal, medical, or other professional advice. Please seek advice from a qualified professional for any specific questions.
Welcome to the Accelerated HVAC Success Program. My name is Ben Middleton. I'm the National Sales Training Manager for the Daikin, Goodman, and Amana brands. Today, we're joined with Doug Little. He's the president and co-founder of Payzer. Doug, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Ben. My pleasure to be here today.
So tell us a little bit, how in the world did you get started in your career and end up co-founding Payzer?
Yeah, well, it's a long family story. Three generations back, my grandfather, my father, my brother still runs a family remodeling business back at home. And I always tell the story, if you remember the 4:30 movie when we were kids, right? You go home, watch that. There was mm-hmm. that brother that went and worked on Wall Street. That was me, right? So went to Wall Street, did about 16 years on Wall Street. And when I started, they told me it was a young man's game. I'm like, are you kidding me? I love this. I'll do it forever. Well, 16 years of it, I was ready for a change and moved my family from New York down to Charlotte and had to reinvent myself a little bit. So I had this background family history working in construction and all the facets of it. And then many, you know, and there was commercial stuff, residential stuff, all that background. And then having a background in finance, where do I go with that background? And that led me to back to the construction industry, but from a financial perspective to start, which then when we started bringing financial tools to contractors, with using technology to do it. My partner, Joe Giordano, Joe and I got together. He's a tech guy. If you think of remember the little mobile speed pass, a little wand you waved at the mm-hmm. gas pump, turned the pump on and paid for your gas that way. I mean, it's the first virtual wallet, right? So he and I met coaching our kids in sports and built a friendship. And I said, if we can deliver this technology and these solutions at the kitchen table in the field for these contractors, we can help them be more efficient and combat other competition that was constantly coming into the space. So that was sort of the impetus to get us started down this tech path. And next thing you know, we're running a technology company. Now, we employ great people who do all the tech work for us, but understanding the market and the problems that contractors face every day, when folks ask us, they say to me, so, you know, you're running a tech company. Mm-hmm. Are you a tech guy? Some guys want to talk about, you know, AWS services and all that stuff. And I'm like, well, I'm a process guy. You know, we look at process. We look and understand what are the steps you're taking to achieve this task, and you're taking 9 steps, and it's a bunch of manual work in there. Well, how can we use technology to reduce it to, say, 4 steps and make mm-hmm. you that much more efficient and have better data collection and those types of things to make the business grow? So that's really what Payzer is. It's about process and applying technology to improve a contractor's process to just drive overall efficiency. And we see our contractors growing revenue when they become more efficient in many different ways, which our topic today will be maintenance plans.
Right.
But just to drive that efficiency across their business and then be able to manage their business better. I mean, there's a big thing you've been teaching in the industry for sure. Work on your business, not in your business
right.
so much. And when you have all this data available to you without having all this extra work, you can start to get a vision and you can see it, and then they get much more efficient. So that's kind of what we do at Payzer, is just drive process improvements through the use of technology, just applying that.
So we are going to talk about maintenance agreements a little bit today, and we're going to be talking about the, you know, what a maintenance agreement can do for a business in terms of helping to even out those slow periods that people may have and the busy periods that people may have, being able to take work from one point in time and moving it to another point in time.
Right.
You know, maintenance agreements have been something that's been in the industry for a long time. I think it was Ron Smith that really started talking about maintenance agreements within our industry, probably back in the 80s, and started to really advocate for it. How have you seen maintenance agreements evolve over time from the 80s today? And how is technology playing a role in that?
So there's been a vast evolvement of it. There's one thing from an implementation process, that's kind of what we've mm-hmm. been able to do with Payzerware, our product, is make it easier for a contractor to implement a maintenance plan program. In the past, when I've met folks and say, how are you doing this? They're like, well, every month we got to stuff envelopes and send out renewals and then collect checks and a whole process. And every month more expire and you have to send out more renewals, or my guys have to collect when they're out there, and they don't love collecting, right? Mm-hmm. On these things. Everyone likes to do the work, but not necessarily have to get the money out of the customer and renew it and such, or sell it. And we've been able to use a lot of process and technology to make that easier, so the technician doesn't have to sell a maintenance plan, simply respond to questions from a homeowner that you've promoted your maintenance plan. And then from performing the maintenance work, it's always been roll a truck, two visits a year. Now, the benefit of the two visits per year is to build a relationship with the homeowner, mm-hmm. so they know who you are, that you're my HVAC guy, right? If something goes wrong, I'm calling you. And that's what you're trying to secure, because the basic essence of the maintenance plan is you meet customers every single day. Mm-hmm. They don't all need new systems, but you do a lot of service work, right? And the service work is, if you do that service work and do it for a period of time, because you might meet someone, you might come to my house, my system might be 6 years old. Go down the street, theirs is 10 years old. Well, they might need a new system sooner than I do, but you want to maintain a relationship. You've acquired me as a customer. So maintenance plans are where to retain that customer over time to when the system's ready to be replaced, and then sell them other stuff along the way. Mm-hmm. Now, the big advancements, which I know you guys here at Daikin are working on, is the using technology to monitor the systems remotely. Because in the past, it's been go out, physically inspect it, you know, roll a truck, get right there. Is there anything wrong? What's wrong? Well, we'll find out when we get there, right? So I have to have my truck fully stocked and be able to maintain the system when I get there and do it. And I do that twice a year. Now, with all the automated sort of monitoring that's starting to happen in the systems now, you could almost, maybe, God forbid we say, don't visit twice per year, visit when needed, right? But be digitally communicating with that mm-hmm. customer throughout the year. So the old way, two visits a year. And I always preach in our system, because we're bridging, there's a bridge that's being crossed right now in our industry when it comes to technology right. and the use of it in the contractor flow, right? Right now, I encourage everyone to bill monthly, $25 a month or $19.99, whatever you want to do, because that gets an email receipt to that customer every single month. Mm-hmm. And they see your logo, they see your company name, all that. They know who their HVAC guy is. They can easily refer you off their phone to a friend, right? So it works kind of that way. But imagine in the monitoring world where you're monitoring, you're sending in information to the customer on a monthly basis, not just a receipt, but like your system performs at optimal performance, mm-hmm. you know, or 2 months from now, your filters are clogged up.
Right.
And you need to replace them. Would you like us to ship you a filter? Press yes. Right. Like imagine that's going on. And then all of a sudden we're seeing your system has dropped from optimal performance. We're noticing these markers. We need to come out and inspect it and roll it that way. So I see a transformation from the old school relationship, physically being there with the homeowner to build that trust, to now, and it kind of goes along with our society as we turn to more of a digital society, move it more towards that digital exchange of information to build that level of trust with the homeowner. And I think the homeowner might get more information now. I think they require that too.
Right.
People require more information than in the past, right? They want to, what do you mean it's not working? Show me the data, right? Well, I've already sent it to you and you've agreed to have me come out. Like different experiences, what I see really moving forward into the future here.
Yeah, and you know, everything talks to us today through our smartphone, right? You can
right.
have your oven talk to you and tell you that it's warmed up, or you can start it before you even get home if you wanted to yeah. preheat the oven. Your cars talk to you today, and they tell you what's going on through your car and when it needs service or maintenance versus actually getting in the vehicle or right. where your car is when you
my
can't
car,
find
my personal car is doing that to me right now. So you need an oil change. Every time I get in, it blinks at me. I'm like, a guy's coming on Wednesday. Stop.
So when you think about consumers and you guys are in this technology space, what is the consumer expectation today in terms of real time, face to face contact versus, you know, this digital experience that consumers are starting to shift towards? Is that welcome with open arms? Do you see some are really welcoming it, others are not welcoming it? How do you see as a technology company as this space, like you said, it's evolving, it's changing right now.
Yeah, so we mine a lot of data on the back end of our system to mm-hmm. see what trends are happening, right? Are proposals being used more? Is financing being used mm. more? We can see it in the data. And then which contractors, as we're working with prospective new customers, we're analyzing that as well. And what percentage of, say, the contracting universe in HVAC has transitioned to what I call cloud-based mobile technology, mm-hmm. right? Versus a server-based system. You have technology, but it's server-based in your office, so the guys don't have a mobile app, to you don't use anything. You know, you're still doing it pen and paper and those types of things and dispatching your guys with text messages. There's a little bit of technology adoption there through the text messages, so it's better than the old phone call and where are your guys and all that stuff. So when you go through all that data, you find that about 30% of the folks have adopted the full cloud-based modern technology. So that's where we're at. And we were, you know, 3-4 years ago, it was around 24%. So it's not like it's revolutionary. Everyone's not adopting at a rapid rate yet. Mm-hmm. And I always, when I do some of these speeches, like, why doesn't everybody offer financing on every single job, right? Well, I came up with a concept of the competitive forces don't compel you to. Now, take an example of the auto industry. If you go to a car dealership, they're selling every single car with financing because an F-150 now runs $83,000. Right. You know, when I bought, I have a 2004 F-150 I bought used in 2005, but I bought it for $23,000. You know, I financed it still as a young man, but you could pay for a truck mm-hmm. like that. But now everything's gotten so expensive, forced by technology, forced by environmental things. You feel the trend similar to what's going on in HVAC. So we've seen the products rise in cost as well. So the market forces are going to start to push people to have to adopt, right? And you don't want to, I coined it into a doomsday clock. Like, how many years do you have? And when we look at the data, you find folks on cloud-based software, you know, they have text messaging interaction with their homeowners, real time. Who's coming? Well, there's a picture of John and a little bio on John. That's right. The guy that's going to be knocking on my door when I'm not home and my wife might be home and the Zoom, you know, the Ring camera show. Mm-hmm. Oh, there he is. There's the guy. There's the truck. You know, I can see all that. And they want this sort of real time. I mean, folks even ask for, can you tell me when he's on the way? Like Uber does, right? So there's a demand for it. But there's also a population shift you see as well. You know, some contractors, they'll tell you, all my customers are old school. Like, they don't even have email addresses. I'm like, a lot of them are getting email addresses now, thanks to Gmail, right? You can make a Google account. But you see this transitioning going on. So how many more years till you have to have software? When you see the guys on software growing at the rate they're growing versus the contractors not on software at all, they're growing. The guys on software are growing 4 to 5 times faster. So if you finite a market, mm-hmm. right, and then look at market share within that market, well, the guy growing 5 times faster is going to grab more market share than the guy not growing right. 5 times faster. So that's the competitive force that's still evolving. When I say 30% have adopted, by the time we get to 40%, you're going to just start to see accelerating because technology does that with everything. Sure. It accelerates the learning curve so much faster. It accelerates everything so much faster that I see in the next 2, 3, 4 years, you're going to see this, like, I have to have software, right? Like, we do a lot of sales efforts. I know Daikin does a lot of presentations that this is best practices you need to get here. And sometimes it feels like a struggle to get the masses group to adopt it, because the pressures aren't there, but the pressures are coming, you know? And that's what it's done to every single industry. I mean, think back to Joe with the mobile speed pass, inventing a little wand to turn the gas pump on,
right?
That you pumped your gas and you drove away. Well, you don't need the guy sitting there in the office anymore, you know, where you're walking up to, put 20 on 5, please. You know, right. Get back in line for your $2 change. Like, just erased that. So now gas stations could move their customers through much faster so they could service more customers in a day. It's the same thing that's going on in our industry. So you see technology make this impact in it across all facets, even with a proposal system where you can build a proposal with proper margins, proper financing, save it in the system, And then if you were in my neighborhood where I live back in Charlotte, the homes look about 8 different fronts on them, pretty much all the same square footage. You can imagine my neighborhood, right? Mm-hmm. And you could roll through and do my entire block with a presentation. So say my system goes out, all the houses are built the same way. You could have a digital proposal to every single customer on my street, potential customer on my street, with, hey, his system went out. Here's what we offered. Here's a good, better, best. Maybe you're in the market for it. And now attract customers into the old, that beats the old, well, let's put a bunch of flyers in their mailboxes, right?
Right.
Like, you could send them an interactive proposal that they can play around with, and it notifies you when they're in there. So if they happen to apply for financing, oh, we got approved, maybe we should accept this. Capture a sale using the digital tools. And that's, you just see that across all facets of what's going on in our industry, not only from the equipment and the monitoring, but now I'm talking contractor process and how it impacts all of that.
So, not to go too far down a rabbit trail, but you brought up financing a couple times there.
Yeah.
And financing is a hot topic in the industry right now. If you put on your finance guy hat and all of the history that you have, do you have any kind of thoughts in terms of the inflation, the challenges that banks have had, some banks that have actually gone out of business, and what's happening mm-hmm. with credit approval ratings, and what's happening with interest rates as they're trying to create this soft landing that the Fed's working on right now?
Right.
How does that impact in the HVAC contractor, and what things should an HVAC contractor be doing to combat some of those forces?
So the one thing you can do, and I say this, and some guys out there listening, like, I've heard them say this before, but offer it on every single job you do, because you have to play the law of averages. Because I'll give you a live example. I had a contractor call me from Indiana and said, hey, what other lenders do you have? And I said, why, what's going on? He goes, well, I'm just not getting the approvals I used to. I'm like, okay. So the rates have moved up, right? But the homeowners, if you think about homeowners, the economy, the macro economy that's going on right now, homeowners' incomes are not rising, right? But all their expenses are rising. They're up somewhat 30% across the board, right? Price of eggs, price of milk, price of HVAC equipment, right? Everything's gone up. That homeowner's income, though, the economy's not booming where everyone's getting raises to go along with that price increase. So if homeowners are resorting, you see in the news, the credit card debt per U.S. consumer is rising. So folks are falling to credit in order to pay their day-to-day bills, right? Now all of a sudden they need a new air conditioning system, right? Or they're foregoing a trip in order to make ends meet. So what I'm getting to is the debt-to-income ratio. So a customer, a consumer who pays his credit card bills religiously, right, pays them every single month, makes his payments, doesn't miss a payment, has a decent FICO score. So the contractors call me and they're perplexed. They're like, the guy's got a good FICO score. I don't understand why he's not getting approved. Well, he has the, say you have $10,000 on a credit line with your credit card. And in the past, you may have had a $2,000 balance. Well, now that homeowner's got an $8,000 balance on that credit card. So his debt, he's increased his total debt versus his income, which the bank then says, this guy's starting to get stretched out. I don't know if he's going to be able to repay us in the future. So if I give him more debt, I further hurt him in his ability to repay that debt. So that's why you see approvals dropping. FICO scores are sort of staying okay because people are getting by paying their bills, but they're increasing their debt-to-income ratio, and that's really what you see. So when you go for an approval with one of the lenders, and there's a varied, you know, group of lenders across our industry. When you go for an approval with them, they're looking at your FICO score and your debt-to-income ratio. And the debt-to-income ratio is the first thing that's been hit. It's usually the first thing that gets hit because people don't default on payments until later after they strung themselves out.
Sure.
They owe so much debt. I'm making so many payments now here, there, and everywhere that I can't make all my payments. And then that really starts to impact the FICO score. So that's what I see going on right now with the increase in interest rate. And then the banks have had to tighten credit because the interest rates, it costs them more to loan the credit out. So everyone, they're looking for that premium customer, so they're pulling back in. And we went through this in 08 and 09 with the big downturn, right? And then we had the financial crisis. So I'm not painting a picture that we're heading there. I'm hoping the Fed gets the soft landing right. You spoke of. But that's sort of what you start to see. That's the calls that I'm getting is, hey, what are the lenders you have? I'm not getting as many approvals as I used to. And adding another lender won't really help the problem because each individual lender looks at each individual customer. They're all facing this. So it's right. An industry-wide thing. So what you do see now is a little bit of a pickup in the secondary lenders. They're starting to meet that void right now and getting more flow to those. So the offer to a homeowner, say, you traditionally might go with a 9.99 for 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. Monthly payments of $139 or something like that, right? Well, now those folks are getting a counter offer to a 17% interest rate for 7 years, right? So higher interest, less term, higher monthly payment right. now, right? And maybe the homeowner can make that or not, but the banks are doing those types of things to shift around the risk.
So let's get back to our maintenance agreement sure. conversation. Yeah. And, you know, I think all of this comes into behavior, right? How do you influence the behavior of the, you know, we talked about the contractor just offering financing every single time. And so is there a way to influence that behavior? But then talking about the technician, when they're out in the home, how do you get the technician to offer a maintenance agreement every single time they're out there? How do you influence that behavior?
So the concrete way, I'll answer this quickly yeah. for you, right? What we've done in our system is I put a button in the admin section. So the owner of the business or whomever the manager of the business might be, a lot of folks will offer, say, a 10% discount on today's service if you sign up for a maintenance plan. And then any service work in the future, we'd give you that same 10% mm-hmm. back, right? So you set that up in our system. You set your maintenance plan up with a 10% discount it offered. Then click a button. And then what our system does is everyone who is not already a maintenance plan customer with you gets offered a maintenance plan on every proposal and every single invoice. So there's the technology doing the work for the tech. Because inevitable, what I'll see, I'll give you an example. I got a contractor, they added 2,000 new customers this past quarter versus last year's mm-hmm. quarter, right? And 126 maintenance plans. So they're up. Maintenance plans additions are up. We're up 126. But I'm like, but relative to the amount of customers you added, it's not so good. And what I often, when you ask the questions, what's going on? You find, well, that's Bill. Bill offers it every single time, and I can't get these other guys to do it. Mm-hmm. So that's where we got, again, the process, right? So how do we help that? Well, let's put a button. Let the owner click a button, and then the homeowner sees the 10% discount. So you, as a homeowner, you're buying, right?
Yeah.
What's this 10% discount? Oh, that's our comfort club. That's our maintenance plan program, something yep. like that, right? And now I'm a technician answering questions, not selling, right? It's very hard to take a technician and turn them into a salesman. It's very hard to find that great salesman out there. So we like to use the technology and the process to stimulate the consumer to ask the question. Now I'm just answering questions. Anyone can do that. Techs love doing that. In my experience, the guys that do that, use that process, they get a lot more maintenance plans added because the homeowner's like, well, so I saved 10% and then you're going to come out here and take care of it? Right, exactly.
Right.
Like, hopefully we don't have this problem because your filters were clogged for 8 months. And
right.
if we had the monitoring, we have this monitoring, we could do that, and then mm-hmm. you just change it yourself. You don't even have to have me come out here. You can see now that conversation is just answering questions, and then the homeowner self-selects into the maintenance plan.
So is there a reward component then, too, that you add in for the techs that
yes.
you can make easy? Because I think that's one really hard thing for owners to manage is, how do I compensate my tech, and who in the company is going to manage this? Because I've seen some pretty elaborate compensation plans
yes,
that
yes.
Takes a PhD in calculus to be able to figure out.
The SPIF programs,
yes.
yeah, I've seen them as well. So again, as I always, I'll joke with you here, like I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but my wife would tell you I'm a good listener. Hope she would agree with me. But what I do is just listen to the contractors. What are you doing? Because we mm-hmm. often find we build technology. We take input. That's what we do, right? So we have a feedback loop through our customer service department. So contractors say, I've got this problem. I need this solution. Then we sort of interview them and figure out, what are you trying to accomplish? How are you doing it today? And how can we maybe improve that, right? So through going through that whole process, what we're doing now with the technicians are hearing this whole spiff thing, right? Like, how do I incent my guys to sell maintenance? Mm-hmm. Because that's the thinking, like, again, the button, you don't have to incent them if you don't want to, because the computer does it every single time. It's presented to the homeowner. You just have to have them. If the homeowner doesn't say, what's that 10% discount? Say, you get a 10% discount today if you sign up for a comfort club, right? Like, that's what he's got to do. So it's easier to, quote, sell it, right? But again, back to our process, I'll use a live example with a contractor. So we have a fella, went to him. He was signing up maintenance plans galore at like a rapid pace. So I went to him and said, you know, what is it you're doing? He goes, well, I'm paying my guys an annuity for every maintenance plan they sell in the year. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a good, interesting conversation. Yeah. I was like, okay, let's break that down for me. What are you doing? So what he does is he bills his customers monthly. So for his, he calls it his comfort club, $25 a month. We maintain your system for you. Okay. We visit, he doesn't have the remote monitoring yet, but he does the two visits mm-hmm. per year. And then anytime there's service, you give us a call and they get a 10% discount. So he runs that whole program. Now, what he does with his technicians, because this is sort of an angle on employee retention as well, because mm-hmm. I know labor is another big issue in our marketplace, right?
Absolutely.
Like training a guy up, keeping that guy, keeping him from jumping ship and going someplace else after you just trained him up, it's an issue. So he was very creative with this annuity. So he tied this to, if you sell a maintenance plan in the year, if that maintenance plan is active at the end of the year, I'll give you $25. And what he does is he splits the payment. So he pays a little bit mid-December, pays him half, and then he pays him the other half, sort of about the third week of January. And his reasoning for do that, he goes, that's my slow season. So I've had to sometimes in the past shorten hours mm-hmm. because there's just not as much work. But I just trained this guy, had him all through the season. Now I'm going to go into March, and I lose guys in the off season. Pardon me. I'd lose guys mm-hmm. to the slowdown. They'd jump ship, go work someplace else after I just trained them up. So the annuity sort of keeps them around, okay? So if you play this math out, so now I'm a technician, and I've sold 100 maintenance plans this year, right? And I get $25 if they're all active at the end of the year. So what does that do to me? Well, I want to make sure they're active at the end of the year. So when I go to service them, giving good service, right? And it's not the $25 for the individual one. It's the compounding effect of it. So this goes year after year after year. So my first year, maybe I sell 100. I'll just keep the math simple. I sell 100. I get $2,500. And I sell another 100 next year. I'm up to $5,000, $15,000, $20,000. Some of these guys that were working for this fellow, I think is one of his best, is getting almost $42,000 a year paid in an annuity. And that on top
and
of his
salary.
That's
the first week of December, right before Christmas.
Right. Well, so he said to me, he goes, you know who my best sales manager is? I go, who? He goes, that guy's wife.
Right.
She's all over him. Hey, how many maintenance plans did you sell today or did you sell this week? Because Christmas is coming. Mm-hmm. And now for his instance, he's not only doing presents, his kids go, now they're taking trips
sure.
with that money. You know. Now here comes the employee retention piece of it. So if this fellow's implemented this and others could as well. Now you think about your competition in town. They're coming in to try and steal your techs away. Mm-hmm. You got a highly trained technician doing a phenomenal job, and now they want to steal them away. Well, maybe they can compete on salary. Maybe they have some sales incentives and other things that they can compete with. But for this guy, let's use that example. Now they got to come up with $42,000 signing bonus for just this year.
Right.
What are you going to do for next year and the year after that? So you can sort of hem your technicians out from the competition. And I know some of his competitors in town, of course, I'm sharing this anonymously, but they're like, how is he doing it? I'm like, I can't tell you that, but you can go ask him. I'm sure he'd share, but it's able to keep these customers because the name of the game, being that labor is, so when we do our surveys, contractors mm-hmm. tell us, what's your number one issue? You know, and they go to the word efficiency is where it boils down, but they'll say things like just keeping my guys organized in the field, getting my guys out the door, you know, making sure I'm taking payment on work we've done. That's all sort of boil it down to efficiency, right? Second thing is always labor. It's tough to find good help. It's tough to retain good help. How do I do this? Well, if you have this sort of bonus or annuity being paid, you'll keep your guys year after year after year, and then your service gets better. you get more and more customers in town that refer you because, again, they're getting quality service when your folks are out there, and it really starts to compound. So it's an employee retention thing that comes off maintenance plans, right? And I love to talk in this venue about that story because, you know, folks are, maintenance plans. Yeah, I'm supposed to be doing a maintenance plan program. Yeah, but now you start to think about where else does a maintenance plan program benefit your business? Mm-hmm. Employee retention, which when you retain employees, they become better, more efficient, better at their job, which drives revenue for you. So it just impacts across your whole, you know, top line margins and everything else as well.
Absolutely. So you have a maintenance calculator mm-hmm. that you've created. And
yes.
Can you walk us through that a little bit and give us a couple of examples here?
I absolutely will. And if you pardon me, I have to put my reading glasses on because I've gotten to that age in life now. So, and I'll direct folks, if anyone's listening later, it's on our website. So Payzer.com, just scroll straight to the bottom. You'll see the maintenance agreement calculator.
Okay.
And this is a way for folks to sort of play with their own numbers and see the impact that this would have. Now, this calculator is fueled by, and Ben, I know if I mention names, you would know all these names. These are the coaches in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So I've talked to them for many, many years. Been doing Payzer now. I didn't give this in our bio. I've been doing this for 11 years now, right? So I've talked to all these guys, and then we've run our data within our system to see that these percentages are coming true. Mm-hmm. Because the first thing was, hey, coaches, you've got contractors out there, many of them not on software. What are you guys seeing? What numbers do you mm-hmm. see on close rates, retention rates, those types of things? And then we fueled that with the data. We have enough customers using our system that we get really robust data to now see that it actually comes true. And I'll share one example. We were I was at an event with one of your promotional partners, and we're having lunch. And the one contractor is using my software and the other contractor is not. And they're discussing business things mm-hmm. and such. And the one contractor not using our software brought up his marketing program. You know, and he has Google ads and billboards and all those types of things. And the contractor using our software says, you know, I don't even like leads from billboards or from Google ads. And the guy looks at him like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? He goes, well, when I have an existing customer that needs a new system, my close rate's 83%.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when like I leaned in. I was like, pardon me, can I butt in with you guys and chat here? Because 85% is what the coaches say, and that's what I see in my data. So he's pretty close to it.
Mm-hmm.
So you see the validation of the numbers I'm about to run through. Maintenance plans are, you know, why is that high close rate? Well, he's built a relationship with the
right.
homeowner for 5 years. He's their guy. He's educated them on the advancements in the technology. You know, it works off your phone. It's got high efficiency. You've got all the different things for comfort that come out. And when the homeowner is finally time to buy a new system, well, they buy that higher end system because they're like, I want all that stuff you've been talking about. Now that this thing's finally shot, we've been waiting for years. And he's like, yeah, I know. It's been a while, you know? So now the homeowner's like, okay, I want to work off my phone. I want the high efficiency. I want that comfort you talked about. And what else should I be thinking of,
mm-hmm.
right? And then, again, offer the financing. So we can do all that for you for about $170 a month. And you'll see a homeowner, I mean, I've been there. So I've been around, done ride days. You see a homeowner go, oh, that I can swing that.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy crap, this guy just made a $15,000 sale.
You make a great point. I remember being on the contractor side. Relationships are absolutely key to the whole entire contracting business.
Yes.
It is a relationship business. It is not, turning wrenches and you know, wiring up things. I remember so often that you would have homeowners call in and they knew it was time for their maintenance agreement that month. And so they would call right. in before we even sent out the notices back when we sent everything out through the mail.
Right.
And they'd say, hey, I need to get my tune-up. And can you make sure Christopher comes out here? Or can you make sure Tim comes out here? Or,
right.
you know, they had a relationship with that tech for, to your point, 5-10 years. And that's why I love the annuity program that you
yeah.
talk about.
Oh,
I wonderful. Wish we were doing that back then. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
But that employee being there, when that technician says, hey, you know, I think it's probably time you start thinking about a new system, there's so much trust.
Yes.
That they want to find every reason why they're going to continue to do business with that technician, with that company.
Right.
Because of that relationship.
Absolutely. And then it's a matter of figuring into the homeowner's budget. What can mm-hmm. you do? Because my guy's name is Carnell. Now, he's like my son is now, Well, he just turned 21, so we had a nice 21st birthday party. But he met my son when he was 7 years old, and he was into lizards and bugs and all kinds of things. And, you know, he just interacted with us, and he's been through two dogs with us. He knows the dog. The dog comes out, he pets him. The dog doesn't bark at him like crazy. He goes, hey, and he pets him. There's a relationship there. So finally, we just had our system replaced with a Goodman unit this past springtime. Because it was time. And I was like, well, what about the other one? He's like, no, that one's fine. Let's just do this one this year. And then we can do another one like next year, or the year after something. I was like, oh, like, you sure? Shouldn't we do both? And he's like, no, just do one. I'm like, oh, okay. But I mean, cause he knows he's going to get that sale from me. He's not pressuring me, not breaking my bank to sort of get me to do both at the same time and stress me out. He didn't want to add any level of stress into the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'll buy the next one from him cause he's going to service this one. So again, that relationship is really what drives these numbers. So let's play with this calculator for a minute. And again, just go to our website, payzer.com at the bottom, click maintenance agreements calculator. And then this is where you put in your own numbers. So how many field technicians do you have? In my example here, I've got 5.
Okay.
Right? And I apologize to the audience. I've got to walk along with this because the math gets kind of complicated when you start throwing these percentages and retention rates and all that. But if you figure out, you know, how many technicians do you have out in the field? And then you can enter how many calls per day do they go on per average, right? So I've just put in, say, 4.5 here. And then what's the yearly revenue of the maintenance plan program? So again, I encourage you to bill monthly, but just, you know, times that by 12 and figure out what your number is. So for the example here, I've got 300 in here. And then there's a sliding scale. So you mentioned it before. How do I get the technicians to offer this, right? So today, if I didn't click that button in Payzer, right, I'm just going to assume 50% of the time your folks will mention it to the homeowner, right? Then we'll go through that math, and then I'll click the button and show you what 100% does, right? So then what percentage of the time will the homeowners accept it? So what's your close rate on that offer? And you might say 30, 50%, whatever you want to do. I've got 30 in here for the example.
Okay.
So we're playing a little bit conservative. So half the time the guys offer it, 30% of the time when they do, the homeowner buys and signs up for the maintenance plan, okay? Now, the annual contract retention rate for maintenance plan customers is 85%. Okay, that's the industry average. That is factoring in people leaving, you know, selling their house, some other guy comes in and steals some business, whatever it might be, but about 85%, which is a good number. You're keeping 85% of the maintenance plans you sell year after year after year, okay? And then what percentage of them, their system breaks down in the year of your maintenance plan program? So if you had 1,000 maintenance plans, the industry average is 10% of those customers are going to need a new system this coming year.
Okay.
So that's where I get to maintenance plans gives you forward-looking revenue. Okay, so what am I going to do this year? I got 1,000 maintenance plans. I'm going to do 100 potential. I'm going to have 100 leads for new systems. Next year, I'm going to sell another 1,000. So I got 2,000. So next year, I'll get 200, right? And now we'll step through the math on this retention rate, right? So 85% close rate. So you sell them, you keep 85%. 10% of those customer systems break down every year and need a new system. Well, your close rate or your win rate, as I like to call it, on those leads is also 85% is the average.
Right.
And I sold the example of the fellas at 83, so he's doing very well. Then what's your revenue per system replacement? So I just put in $7,500. We can make that 10 grand. We can do whatever we want with them when we play. Now, when you scroll this out, now I put a 5-year plan here. And if you take this across 5 years, so my five technicians going on 4.5 jobs per day and half the time offering it and 30% of the time people accepting it after I offer it to them, and I'm retaining 85%. So in the first year, I've sold 844 maintenance plans. Now, I know from my data, there's a lot of contractors out there that have like 120 maintenance plans. And you say 844, they go, whoa, how am I going to do? Like, that sounds crazy, but it can be done. Using the software, letting it work this way. And this is, again, I still haven't clicked the button to go 100%, right? So we're playing conservative. So off of those customers, it's 844 customers paying you, on average, $300 per year. That's $126,000 in contract revenue off of those maintenance plans. Now we go to year two. You sell more, but lose some from the first year, right? So now you got 1,500 maintenance plans generating about $340,000 in revenue, okay? Now, systems start to break. So in that second year, you'll close and win and do 72 system replacements, which will generate at $7,500 a pop, a little over $500,000 in revenue. Now, we waterfall that through year three, year four, year five. We get to year five. You're at 3,131 maintenance plans, generating $812,000 in revenue. And in year five, you're going to do 229 system replacements for $1.7 million in revenue. So putting the two together, you're at $2.5 million growth in your business over the next 5 years. So forward-looking revenue, you can plan that out. Now, if I'm a contractor and I'm like, what's my five-year plan? Well, I want to grow my business by 5 years. Say I'm 35 years old. I want to grow it in 5 years. When you walk into a banker and you have a maintenance plan program and you guys have used our calculator to show the banker, here's my forward-looking revenue. So if you loan me money, I'll be able to pay you back.
Right.
That's what
right.
they're looking. That's what bankers looking for. Mm-hmm. If I give you money, can you pay me back? Right. So now you have forward-looking revenue. This is going to be my growth just off my maintenance plan program. Now I've got a marketing thing over here, and I got this and stuff, right. and I got a close rate of that. So I'll be about $3.5 million, say, in revenue in 5 years. And so I want to take out a five-year loan and buy some more trucks and grow my business, right? Then the other side of the spectrum, I talk to a lot of contractors, they might be 58 years old and like, I want to retire in 5 years. Well, what's the value of your business? Well, I've been in business for 35 years. And I don't want to offend anybody, but you know, you've got your logo, you've got your customers that you've serviced in the past.
Right.
Are they going to be a new customer for you in the future? Well, I like to think I have a relationship. Well, how do you sell your business? You sell it to someone else who then no longer has that relationship. So how does the guy buying your business value it? Well, he'll reduce your business down. So you're making, you know, $5 million in revenue and you got all these great relationships. Well, I'm going to lose those relationships. So I can only value your business at, say, 50% with you not here.
Right.
Right. So now I'm going to give you $2.5 million for your business. And you're like, $2.5 million? Well, I'm making $5 million. That doesn't sound right. Well, you want to leave. You want to go to the beach, go fishing, go retire, right? Well, or otherwise, I'll give you $2.5 million now and you work for me for the next 5 years. And then I'll give you the $5
million. Right.
Right? So prove it out. And that's not an ideal situation for folks either. So when you have this maintenance plan, you can predict because, again, the system is doing, the technology is doing it. If you add in what we talked about earlier with the remote monitoring, purely technology is maintaining that relationship. There's some human element, yes, when you go to service it, you know, but it's not as tied to as today with the human element measures it. So you might still get some reduction in your business in the forward-looking revenue, but if you've got pure tech in the future, like where are we going 5 years from now when it is a pure tech solution, you can really value your business as forward-looking revenue, okay? So that's the thing when you think about, again, a maintenance plan. Yeah, I got to run a maintenance plan. I've been told I'm supposed to run a maintenance plan, but like, what's the benefit of it? What's the true impact in my business? Often when I talk to folks about maintenance plans, they're not thinking about this portion, that forward-looking revenue, the value of their business. You know, these are customers, and the reason I say monthly, bill them monthly, because these are customers that pay me every single month. How can you debate with me that they're not my customer? They pay me $25 a month to be my customer. Like, there isn't a debate on, well, you know, you billed them last year. Are they going to renew this year? Well, they renewed the year before that, so I'd hope so. But if you're billing every single month, it's like, there's the count. How many customers do I have? 3,300 paid me last month.
Right.
Those are my customers, right? And then 10% of those are going to break down. So I'll install, close 85% of those, and I'll install, you know, 270 systems next year. So what's an average system go for? Well, now it's going for $10,000. So you can play with it. So you can really start to slide this and then click that button in our system, and every single homeowner you meet day in, day out gets offered that maintenance plan. And then let's say your guys don't have to sell, but just answer questions. They feel more comfortable with it. They get more closes, and now you're up to 50% close rate. I mean, you can double these numbers that we're talking about here from a business perspective.
You know, Doug, it's so simple, but it's not easy. to implement programs like this. But I do think technology definitely helps to make it possible.
Yeah.
Where I think so for so long in our industry, everybody was trying to figure out how to do this.
Right.
And it was without technology, it is a very laborious, and you have to have a very process-oriented individual sitting in the business that's disciplined to keep on top of all the moving pieces of the maintenance agreement program. And so I really thank you for everything that you've done to help so many contractors across North America.
Well, it's sort of, this is kind of the theory that I approach all this with, right? Because again, we've talked today. Here's some theories, here's some ideas, okay? What I've tried to do with Payzer is be the tool to implement it. Because I've been in the industry a long time. I've been around contracting for basically my whole existence, but professionally a little over 20 years. And I've given the speech on financing in front of, 200 guys at a dealer event. And, prior to Payzer, it was all theory. So good luck, folks. Go home and implement that. And like you say, it's difficult. It's hard. You need a process-oriented person, very disciplined. Well, so what we've tried to do with Payzer is simply now be the tool. So here's the theory. How do I do it? Just use the tool. And when technology is very successful is when it just does the work for you. There's a lot. It's a duck on the water type of thing. There's a lot going on, but you don't have to worry about it. Just present your invoices. So you need this service work. The customer is not a maintenance plan customer, so every invoice, it just appears, so your technician doesn't have to think, oh, let me put the service discount on there. It just does it. So he doesn't have to think about it. So he just, here's what you need to get repaired, and then they see the discount. It's automatically calculated. The homeowner goes, so what's this 10% discount? Oh, that's our comfort club. If you click that box there, you can sign up for it. Like, simple. So it's the tool that we're trying to be to make it easy to implement these things. And that's across the board with, proposal comparisons and financing and all those things and schedule dispatch. Where are your guys? Well, the system tells you where they are. What's their route? Maintenance plan customer just called in. Who's nearby? Oh, Bill's nearby and he's got 2 hours open in his schedule right now. So let's plug that in. You could see where the tool now makes it easier to implement these things. And that's really when you see technology being successful, is it's applying a tool to an age-old problem and making it easy for us as humans to use it and interact with it and not have to even almost think about it. If you get really good at it, it just sort of happens to certain things. So that's kind of, that's been our mission, to try and make this easy so that folks can implement it.
Well, thank you so much, Doug, for joining us today. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thanks for having me here again in the future.
Thank you.